Hi, happy Easter. Thanks for turning on this podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was preached at Faith Lutheran Church in Meadow Vista, California. We are part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and a Reconciling in Christ congregation. To find out more about our community of faith, visit faithmv.net. Our scripture for this Easter Sunday comes from the Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought perfumed oils so that they could anoint Jesus. Very early, just after sunrise on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked, they found that the huge stone had been rolled back. On entering the tomb, they saw a young person sitting at the right, dressed in a white robe. They were very frightened, but the youth reassured them. "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now go and tell the disciples and Peter, 'Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, where you will see him just as he told you.'" They made their way out and fled from the tomb, bewildered and trembling, but they said nothing to anyone because they were so afraid. The Gospel of our Lord. Well, that is a highly unsatisfying ending, isn't it? This morning, we have heard, I'm going to stand up on a step here. We've heard from the Gospel according to Mark, perhaps the most unsatisfying version of the Gospel's account of the resurrection. Unlike Matthew's account that includes an earthquake and a dazzling angel descending from the heavens, or Luke's gospel that has a couple angels in dazzling white asking provocative questions of the people, or John's gospel, which actually has Jesus appearing at the garden tomb talking to Mary, we get Mark, who says, "And they didn't say anything because they were afraid." It is a bit unsatisfying on this Easter morning, which is probably why the later generations of believers added to the Gospel of Mark. This is the short ending of Mark. There's a long ending of Mark, which you can check in your Bibles when you get home. They included appearances of the risen Christ to the disciples, the commissioning of the disciples to go out and tell the world the good news, just like we see in the other Gospels. So it's clear, and actually I think it's obvious, that it worked. They did go out and tell people. Jesus did commission them because we're here today. Otherwise, we wouldn't have heard anything. But I wonder if the Gospel according to Mark, with this unsatisfying ending, actually is easier for us to connect to here in the 21st century. The stones that were used to seal the cave tombs in Jesus' day were not small. And I've been thinking a lot about stones, roadblocks, things that get in our way, that keep us from doing what we've been appointed to, things that keep us from our goal, from our plans, from the life that we feel we've been called to in Jesus Christ, those things that get in our way and make us feel like we're stuck. The disciples said, "Who's going to roll that stone away for us?" Perhaps our question today is, who's going to roll that stone away for us? Stones don't have to be momentous things either. I've been thinking about the dailiness of life, just every day, the little things that wear us down, that we continually stub our toe on, that keep us from true joy, that keep us from living as people of the resurrection, because that is what we are. Were it not for the resurrection, where would our hope be? Now, there's another part of this account, of course, the really unsatisfying part, the part that ends with fear and trembling. They made their way out and fled from the tomb, bewildered and trembling, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I think there's a lot of fear in the world right now. I think a lot of us are afraid.
We're afraid at a personal level. We're afraid at a communal level. We're afraid at a global level. I think there are legit reasons to be afraid right now. Our fears may be different from those of the first disciples, but the results are often the same. We do things to try to outrun our fears. We keep our mouths shut when we should speak up. We withdraw into ourselves rather than reaching out to our neighbors. I don't know about you, but I probably spend more time in fear and trembling than I like to admit. And in those times, when I do manage to set my fear and trembling aside, I make the mistake of turning on the radio. And it all starts over again. Fear makes us forget that we have been given the best news. That there is hope. There is a future. There is more than this moment. There is more than our fear. We forget about the angel who said, "Go and tell the disciples that he will meet you in Galilee." I've been reading more poetry the last few weeks than I normally do. This week, the poem that moved me the most was by Wendell Berry, called "Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front." And the last words of this rather long poem are, "Practice resurrection." I found that to be very compelling. Practice resurrection. I think that might be how we deal with the stones that keep getting in our way, that seem too big for us to move. I think that is how we deal with our fear, with the trembling that comes when we hear more news that we are just terrified about, when we hear about people dying all over the world, when we worry about the upcoming election. Practice resurrection, because Easter is more than a single moment. I said earlier, we're resurrection people. We are indeed resurrection people, and it's more than Sunday morning on Easter once a year. It's an everyday event. New life, renewal, overcoming. This is resurrection. So what does it look like to practice resurrection? I have a list, but I'd like to hear from you. What do you think it means to practice resurrection? Just yell it out.
Hope.
Hope.
Starting over.
Forgiveness.
Maturity.
I can't do them all, but just keep yelling them.
Patience,
is that what I heard? Yeah, that's a good one. I hadn't heard that one before. Excellent. Forgiving.
Community.
Yes.
Forgiving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Loving your neighbor.
Loving yourself too.
Loving yourself as well.
Believing in yourself.
Believing in yourself.
Stepping into the light.
Stepping into the light. Nice. She was at the first service. She's had time to think about that one. Indeed, practicing resurrection looks like all of these things. Life, renewal, hope, love, forgiveness.
Grace.
Listen again to the words of the messenger at the tomb. "Go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." I think this might be practicing resurrection as well. Go back to the beginning. Go back to Galilee. Go back to the place where you first met the one who changed your life. Where you first saw Jesus. Where you first experienced his healing touch, his welcoming love. His unconditional grace and mercy. Go back to there. Start there again. And don't forget Peter. The invitation specifically names the one whose betrayal may have been the hardest of all to bear. The one who disowned Jesus, who claimed he didn't know him 3 times. In Jesus' worst hours, Peter turned his back. out of fear. And yet the words of the messenger are clear. Make sure that Peter gets this message. Make sure that Peter knows to meet the risen Christ in Galilee, because Jesus is going to be waiting for him. That Christ is showing singular affection to the one who failed most spectacularly is the most beautiful part of this story, as far as I'm concerned. That the risen Christ didn't give up on the one he loved. Christ doesn't give up on the ones that he loves, on the world for whom he died. Christ does not give up. When we are faced with rocks in our path, when we find ourselves overwhelmed by our fears, practice resurrection. I'm going to read to you a little bit from Wendell Berry's poem, just excerpts. Love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay, want more of everything ready-made, be afraid to know your neighbors and to die, and you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they'll call you. When they want you to die for profit, they'll let you know. So friends, every day do something that doesn't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Ask questions that have no answers. Put your faith in the 2 inches of humus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Expect the end of the world. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful. Be joyful though you have considered all the facts. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way that you didn't go. Be like the fox who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Yes, let's practice resurrection. Let's follow in the steps of the one who taught us to love those who maybe we don't think deserve it. The one who questioned authority when it was oppressive and unjust, who spoke truth to power, who lifted up the lowly, who welcomed the lost, who found joy in spending time with friends, who did not let fear keep him from doing what he was about, and who could not be stopped by the stone that was rolled in the way. The one who rose victorious against the powers of sin and death. May we go and do likewise. Amen.